I've been a little sick the last couple of days, as some of you have seen me have known, and so if I get near you, I might just go unclean, unclean. if you've ever had those kind of a days, and so I've kind of avoided, everybody a little bit the last couple of days, and it's cold and flu season, so it's kind of part of living in the Northeast. You tend to get something about this time of year, unless you have some sort of incredible, awesome immune system that I don't. And it was funny because I had just said to my wife, it's been a long time since I've had an upper respiratory infection or anything. It's great. It's like when we lived in Los Angeles, it was like a lot warmer. I'm from here, we moved there, and I didn't catch some of the same stuff I caught, and then you move back Northeast and you do. And so I was thinking, oh great, maybe my body has finally developed immunity for everything. It's funny though, as soon as you say that, that's when you get it, right? And so this has been the season I'm not a germaphobe, but when in flu and cold season, I kind of become one, wash everything double time and, I pour bleach over myself. No, I'm kidding. but it's not a new phenomenon, getting sick. It's sort of part and parcel with us being human, with us living. And so it's always been around, and even in biblical times. And ironically, and this happens to me all the time, it's something I'm going through in my daily life, happens to match the passage that we're going over. And it does today. We're talking about a guy who has leprosy. And so we're in the gospel according to Mark. And I know still those of you who have been here a while are still a little shocked that we're not in Luke, because I think we worked on Luke for 5 years, covered most of it. We'll come back to it. We talked about a lot of other things in between, but I do have this affinity for the gospel according to Luke, and there's four of them: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're called the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because they kind of cover the same stuff, some different things to add some. John is that one of those kids is doing their own thing. Some of you, if you grew up in the 70s, that was the one they always sent people to, for discipleship. And that's, for me, that's the harder one to get. I'm like, I don't know. It's missing something in the 70s. They thought that was a good idea. if some of you are from then, maybe you can explain it to me later. So in Mark chapter 1, we're in verse 40 now. It said, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus begging to be healed. He said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Now, leprosy, number one, I've heard a couple of things about, misunderstandings of the text. It's not a leaper. It's not someone who goes around and leaps a lot. There was a whole sermon I heard this guy talking about. The guy was talking about Simon the leaper, and he leaped everywhere, and Jesus healed him of his leaping. And I'm thinking, no, that's not right. It's not a leopard. So if you mishear me, because with the cough and the crud in my lungs and the lung butter coming up, you hear... I just cut down the amount of hands I'm going to shake after the meeting, it's not a leopard. This is not a Disney movie. So if you hear that wrong, this is not a leopard, not a leaper, not a guy who jumps a lot. But this is where it gets funny, and this is the academic side of me spends way too much time on this every time I talk about leprosy, because I go into, now when we think of leprosy, you might think of fingers and hands falling off and things like that. You've probably heard that. I grew up in church, and that's sort of how they describe leprosy. And that's actually something, it's so-called Hansen's disease. And then I've argued for years that was not the biblical leprosy, because leprosy in the Bible covered a whole range of skin diseases. But then I was reading this article this week. Turns out they found in a grave from that time period, they unsealed it and they found that bacteria. So now there's a part of me that's wondering, could it have had that kind of leprosy too? If you read any history and this stuff, it's kind of boring for probably most people. But for some of us, it was funny, because last night I was at a Boy Scout camp out. I just stopped in. I was talking to some of the leaders. I couldn't camp. I was supposed to be camping. I was supposed to be hunting. This was going to be like a man weekend. Instead, it was a man curled up in a ball drinking NyQuil going, I'm so sick. Because, when men get sick, it's really sick. I know women get sick too, but Some of you know what women, they like get sick, they keep doing what they're supposed to be. Men, ours must be worse because we just crawl into a ball and we complain a lot. But, you know, I was talking to one of my friends who's a leader too, and we got to talking about the actual bacteria that causes it, you know, and it's funny because I found out too, armadillos in Florida have this bacteria, and you know, but you know, it's related to the bacteria that causes tuberculosis, and so hopefully none of you have that. Some of us have been exposed to it. don't worry, I don't have tuberculosis. But so it's this skin disease of all sorts, and in those days, you know, like today, you're not going to want to shake my hand immediately after, although I will wash my hands again, I will slather myself in, you know, you see, you go to some churches, they do have that, they have like the little, you know, hand stations thing. What message does that send to people? You know, we'd like you here, but we're going to rub ourselves down because we're just not sure we want to touch you, especially if you're from Arkansas. And so all these different skin diseases, and really the book of Leviticus prescribes. Now, you have to understand, they didn't have the amount of science we do now. But they did know that certain things cause disease. And so when God set up the laws in ancient Israel, it's sort of blurry between the legal, like, you know, thou shalt not kill, because it's not good to kill people. And then there were some ceremonial laws, but there were also some health laws thrown in. And so because of that, for something like leprosy, you know, you had to go through great lengths to kind of keep them away from everybody else because there weren't a cure for a lot of these skin diseases. So the best way to not get something is to not, like, you know, be touching and, you know, exchanging body fluids, and you know, and so they had to actually dress differently, they had to have torn clothes, they had to leave their hair like disheveled, which is great for some of us who don't like to run a comb through it anyway. I'm like, I don't know, ADD a little bit. I forget to comb my hair. And so when it grows out longer, I look in a mirror some way mid through the day. I'm like, oh my gosh, why didn't nobody tell me? I look like Einstein or something, you know. Well, that's good company, though, if you have crazy hair. I'll say it's because I like to study, but it's really just I don't really care what I look like. You know, and you'd have to wear a mask to cover the lower part of your face or cover it with your hand. You'd cry out, unclean, unclean, when you were in around. And they really had, they'd live outside of where everybody else lived. So it's sort of a lonely existence. Hopefully there'd be a couple other lepers out there with you. You could hang out with other lepers. And you could leap over things if you wanted to. And they were excluded from the temple. And you know, there's all these, like, you know, trying to keep people from being getting sick. But the result of that is, how would you feel? It's kind of like, have you ever seen the dog shaming posters and stuff? I laugh at those. I wish, you know, Julie's not here this week. She posts some funny ones because, you know, if you've ever seen those, there's a little sign that's like, you know, I ate my owner's mattress. I did this. And so the dogs look a little sad in the pictures, but they're not really sad. They just know their owner's not real happy. So they don't really, there's no like real, you know, I'm sad for this, but it's kind of like that. They're kind of like dog shamed. They're excluded, and you start to really kind of feel like you're not a part of things when you're not a part of things. And picture you're going through the village. Let's say you live here in Wyoming, and you're going through and you're going to go to, well, I still call it Witz, but Camden, Wyoming Market. It's going to take me years to say that because my whole life it was Witz. And great people, good food. Unfortunately, not open on Sundays. When I was a kid, it was. Oh, we get the ham there. It was great. Anyway, like you're walking to the market and people see you and you like shout, you have to go, unclean, unclean. And then everyone's like pulling their kids away because they don't want their kids to get sick. They're kind of avoiding you, walking on the other side of the street. You have to stay away from them. You'd start to really kind of feel bad, right? And now picture if you had a wife and kids. And now you're going by, unclean, unclean. You might even see your kids, but you can't hug them. You might see your wife, but you can't be with her. And if it's your son or your daughter, your mother or your father, your friend or your neighbor, they're gone to you. It's really like they called it a living death. Now, zombies are popular now because we're all getting ready for the zombie apocalypse, right? It's so plausible. But just in case, I'm catching everything to build up an immunity. But, you know, it's like that. It's like having zombies. They were the living dead among you. It's like, and if it was, especially if going back to what, if leprosy was Hansen's disease, then you kind of picture, you know, the person kind of looking like, you know, if you don't watch much zombie stuff, it's probably better for you. But, you know, like usually like limbs are falling off and they're rotting and it's that sort of a thing. So there's all this disease, this death. It's kind of like the AIDS of the day. And some of you remember when AIDS first came out, it was like people didn't know what, we didn't know how exactly you caught it, and we just wanted to stay away from it. And it was like, if someone even like mentioned AIDS, you're like, I'm just going to stay away from those. Or swine flu or Ebola a couple years ago. I was talking, some of you met the missionaries that were here last week. They were just kind of hanging out with us. We were talking about Africa because I'm blessed. I've had the opportunity to go there a bunch of times. And the first time I happened to go there was in the middle of the Ebola outbreak. But that was like in West Africa, and I was in East and South Africa, and it was funny because people came back, and the people are literally calling me on the phone, asking what my transition plans are in coming back, you know, what kind of, you know, my kids are going to be exposed to me, and then I've been, and then there was also rumors that I was like working with Ebola patients. I'm like, no, I'm just in Tanzania, but, and they don't have Ebola there. We had it in the U.S. They didn't have it in Tanzania. They should have had to do check me there. But yeah, it's kind of, you know, and people were literally concerned. It was funny because I posted on his back and it was like I started getting comments. They're like, see you in a couple months. We just want to make sure you're clear. At church, you know, attendance dropped off there. I don't know. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. but you know, people are concerned because of there's this kind of disease. And so you picture that in that day, you know, there's all these people. It's like this living death. There's this zombie sort of thing. It says the guy came and knelt. Now, does anybody think that's odd? He came and knelt. Remember, he's supposed to stay away. That's pretty risky, isn't it? So Jesus is there. This guy comes up. There's sometimes people picture Jesus as being like this lonely guy nobody wanted to hang out with. It was the opposite. Jesus was always trying to get away from prayer, but what he did and what he said attracted a lot of people. It also attracted a lot of enemies, which we'll talk about here in the future. But people were around him, and so, you know, the leper just coming there violated the laws, the social customs, and it was a risk because generally, in those times, if you didn't like somebody, if somebody broke the rules, what did you do? You stoned them. You know, you picked up giant rocks and smashed their heads. Not a good way to start your morning. And so, you know, here's this, this is kind of a risk. And he comes out and he says, if you are willing. You know, I find that to me, that's like one of those phrases I think about and mull about all week. You know, if you are willing. You know, he didn't doubt his power. He didn't doubt, you know, because Jesus at this time had this reputation as being a healer. Remember, that's, you know, he healed Simon's mother-in-law, healed the demon dude in the synagogue, you know, and so then he's healing all these people, and so word spreads. This guy comes, he risks it all, and he doesn't, you know, he says, you know, if you're willing, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, the question to ask yourself is, you know, do we sometimes doubt his willingness? You know, he is able. But, you know, is he willing? And often, you know, we study Jesus because it shows us what God is like. You know, if Jesus is God in the flesh, you know, you could go to church your whole life and try to be godly, but really the one you need to model is Jesus. And that's why we're going over the book of Mark. So you understand who Jesus is, what he does, and, you know, how he lives, you know, and then we try to emulate that. And so, if we know his character, we know Jesus is willing to heal here, right? And you kind of know they're not going to include it in the Bible if he didn't get healed, right? And so in verse 41, it says, you know, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Now, he was moved with compassion. You know, he loves us. This is an important truth. Jesus loves us. He has compassion on us no matter how screwed up you are. Because you're pretty screwed up, right? We always say, we're all a little jacked up. And if you don't think you're a little jacked up, you're really jacked up. Because we go in the wrong direction, we do the wrong things, we have sin. And so despite that, you know, Jesus loves us. It's kind of like your kids. Some of us have kids, some of us don't. I don't know. My kids, they behave perfectly. We never have a problem with them. They're like angels on earth. They're the model for everything, right? And I've heard some of you sometimes struggle with your kids' behavior, though. And kids, you love them, and you do try to train them to do well, but even the best kid, has a few issues sometimes at home, and everyone's looking at their children right now, because they do. And despite the fact that your kids sometimes go the wrong direction, do the wrong thing, you love them, right? And that's how God is with us. Despite the fact that even though we're trying to follow Jesus, we go in the wrong direction, or before you start following Jesus, you do the wrong things, you go the wrong ways, God still has this love and this compassion for us. And John 3:16, which we like to quote periodically because it's one of those sports arena verses. John 3:16? I'll never forget, and I've shared this story before, but I think it's funny, and I can share it again because I'm talking. but I remember when I became a believer, we had this scavenger hunt, and a guy who I'm still friends with now, he was the youth pastor, and he sent us on a scavenger hunt, and one of the things was like, find someone who could quote John 3:16, and I'm like, who's going to be able to quote some random Bible verse? We found someone at McDonald's who could in line. But, at that point, I didn't realize that it was this important scripture, this thing. And so what is John 3:16? Can you say it? That was good. Half of you got it. The other half were just kind of mouthing it along. And then it always sounds like a funeral dirge when you quote it together, though, because you're trying to stay on cadence. For God so loved the world. Like, you should be happy. For God loved the world. And so Jesus comes not to condemn the world. Now, ultimately, there's some judgment, don't get me wrong. But he comes because he loves. And so Jesus comes, he's moved with compassion, and it says he touched him. Now, am I the only one who immediately thinks that seems like a bad idea? Yep. I'm the only one? No. Okay. Because you're thinking, this dude is like a living zombie. It would be like on The Walking Dead, a zombie comes up to you, and you're like, oh, nice zombie, pet the zombie. There's something stuck in his teeth, let me get that out. This is sort of disgusting, right? And it's like, it's this moment, now here's the thing. If you touch someone, the religious authorities are like, you're going to be, ceremonially unclean. So it's, maybe he could get leprosy. I love you. If I come to you and you've got the flu, I am laying hands on you from afar. I'm not gonna I have to visit people in the hospital. Sometimes I'm there. I've been there all day. I'm like, I'm just gonna burn my clothes when I leave because I'm sure I'm gonna get MRSA. And so it doesn't seem like a good idea. So you picture him, petting a zombie and you kind of picture the crowd looking at him at this moment like, what are you doing? This guy isn't paralyzed. This guy doesn't have a demon. This dude has leprosy. You don't touch lepers. But I think a couple reasons. One, I think we're made for touch. If you read back in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the one I use a lot at weddings, I talk about, it's not good for man to be alone. That's because we don't know how to take care of ourselves, I think, partly. Some of you know what I mean, amen. But we're made to be in relationships and connections with other people. Now, there's some of us, I'm a people person. Like, I need, I like the new building. I love having the office. But, like, I'm, like, looking outside every chance I can to talk to somebody. But I also need to my study time and alone time. But some of you are people who kind of don't need a lot of people. But, we're made to have relationships. Now, there was a good movie a couple years ago. I always feel bad when I recommend a new movie now. I don't know what else is in the movie. It's been a while since I've seen it. But Cast Away. If you haven't seen it yet, you probably aren't going to anyway. But it's this movie, and he's a FedEx employee, plane wreck. He ends up alone on a deserted island, and he has like a volleyball that he makes his friend, that he goes, hand Wilson, yeah, because it was a Wilson volleyball. And I wonder if they paid to have that in there. But he's like talking to the volleyball, and you're thinking, this dude is crazy. He cray cray, right? But here's the thing. If you were stranded without anybody, as much of an introvert as you might be, as much as that show that where the guy goes and lives in the cabin in Alaska and builds that, and my friends and I, we watch that and go, oh, that'd be incredible. But, eventually you're going to want some human interaction. And, in the movie, he's willing to risk death to get back to civilization, which is funny because he was on a deserted island, which most of us would, you know, want to live on an island. Anyway, but he does that because we're made to be connected with other people. And the second reason I think Jesus touches him is the clean makes the unclean clean. See, Jesus, there was something different about him. He is God in the flesh. He has the Holy Spirit in a way that no one else does. And it's this demonstration of real power. Jesus is like saying, I'm going to touch the unclean guy, but instead of me getting unclean, he's going to get clean. And so he does it, and it really demonstrates that, hey, I'm different. And in verse 43, it says, then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. And this was the process of the day. And so he says, you know, hey, you're restored, you're back in, so you need, you still, you know, we're still under the Mosaic law. You know, this is before Jesus has gone through the thing. And Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And so he's not telling the guy to break the rules. He's saying, hey, go back to the priest. You had to offer this sacrifice, to show, do this to show that we're still good Jewish people, and you'll be restored. And really, it'd be a testimony to the priest that, hey, this guy touched me, and now I'm clean. And they would rejoice and go, hey, this guy's clean. But here's what happens. 45. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. So the man had one job. Didn't do it too well, did he? He had one discipleship instruction. Don't talk about it. Go do the offering. What's he do? He talks about it. You know, it was... Like one time, one of my kids was supposed to be holding the kayak, and it had one job: don't let it fall off the car. But you know, here's the thing: he doesn't do too well on his discipleship instructions, does he? That's okay. Sometimes we don't either, right? If we're honest. But you know, he's kind of starting out. He kind of makes this mistake, but it's easy to understand. If you had been a zombie, you were effectively dead. You were alive, but you were on the way out. You were socially outcast. You couldn't be with your family. I imagine the moment he's clean, if he was married, he's running to see his wife. If he had kids, he's running to see his kids. And he's so excited about what's happened that he can't help but tell people, hey, I'm clean now. You got to go check this guy Jesus out. And so he's excited about it. And it's funny because he has the one command, don't tell anybody. And what does he do? We have the command, tell everybody. And who do we tell? Let that one sink in for a second. See, we flip it. We reverse it. And it's really this cool thing. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of miracles in the Bible, when you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the funny thing is, you know, some people have problems with miracles. You know why? Because they're not the natural order of things, right? There was this guy, you may have heard of him, his name was Thomas Jefferson. If you haven't, the public schools have done you a disservice. But you know, he liked the Bible, well, parts of it. So he made a Bible where he cut out all the, like, miraculous things. He liked Jesus, not so much the miracle stuff. And so, the Jefferson Bible, it's funny because I have this love. I'm kind of weird. You guys know that. I love faith. I love biblical studies. I love studying the Bible. But I also have this love for science. And my original degree is in chemistry. I was going to be a chemist. I wanted to, you know, work at the Fermi lab. That was before they built CERN. And, you know, I love subatomic particles. You can't trust atoms, though. They make up everything. I got that one from my son. But, you know, I love that. And a lot of times people who like science feel like there's this contradiction between science and faith, right? Because, you know, well, you know, people don't just get healed. Of course not. That's the whole point. The point, it's not that they're irrational. The miracles are not irrational. It's not that they can't happen, but they don't normally happen. They're not rational. And that's the whole point, is God intervenes. God does something that's not the natural course of things. If you get leprosy, usually it leads to death. God steps in. You know, and we're gonna see other people. We're gonna see a guy who's, you know, paralyzed, and God steps in. Things change, and the miracles Jesus does when he's on earth aren't just kind of random. I'm sure he did a lot of healings, but the ones we have recorded in Scripture are generally pointing to something bigger. Jesus didn't come just to set up a medical clinic. If he did, what would he have done? Stayed at Capernaum. Maybe set up outside of Jerusalem, have a nice land, a little spa, you know, and, you know, he'd charge an entry fee or something, and, you know, he could have just set up a medical center. But Jesus comes, and he does these things for a reason. There's a point. They point to something and something greater. And often it's to show this battle between God and Satan, between good and evil. And so leprosy in the time of Jesus, people considered lepers to be stricken by God. Now, there are times in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, where God does some sickness as judgment. But really, at this point, they kind of thought the leper was separated from God. And they thought, because he was separate, he was separated from God. But really, it's our sin that separates all of us from God. And see, leprosy is just this picture of our sinfulness. You know, I may not have lesions, I may not be losing fingers, I may not have weird white things, and, you know, if you read the descriptions of leprosy, we don't, you know, I don't have something hugely disfiguring, unless I do. Do I have anything right here? No. But you know, all of us have sin and junk. This healing is a sign of something more. 1 John 1:8 and 9 says this: "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness." You know, we all got junk. We have sin. We may not be a leper. We may not have to live outside of the community because of it, but we have this sin. We have this junk. I shared a story. I used to work in a factory, and we made plastic that went out in the fields, and I was back there, you know, low man on the totem pole, you get the worst job. And my job was to kick the big plastic goo. You know, we'd cut it off, kicking it. And I'm back there by myself. It's probably 2 o'clock in the morning, and suddenly my boot gets stuck in it. And then I was trying to kick it off. Next thing I know, I am in a giant blob of plastic. My boots are burning up because it's really hot when it comes out there. And I had to like unlace my boots, jump out, and then run into the break room without my boots, going, I need help. And they eventually came and helped me. But it really, for me, that is this picture of sin, because sin, it seems like something we can play around with. It might even seem like it's something fun, but eventually it's something that we stick in, that holds us, that binds us, and then we're in a lot of trouble and we need help to get out. And that's this picture of sin. And I've been thinking too, I think this week I've been thinking about how sin is like stench. You know, and most of us don't take sin seriously, do we? We don't, because we do stuff we know is wrong, kind of going, okay, God's going to forgive me of this, right? But we're made to live a certain way. I always use this car analogy. You know, you're made to put oil in the car and do regular maintenance and things. If you do that, your car lasts a really long time. If you don't, you're going to be replacing some parts pretty soon. We can't replace parts. But, you know, I coach wrestling. I've kind of always coached wrestling. I don't know. The nice thing is I can go a couple days a week. I don't have to be there every day. And so the days I go and coach wrestling, you know, I go, and right now I've been at Pfeiffer Middle School. I dropped down to the middle school and been helping out there. And it's a lot of fun working with the middle schoolers. But, you know, I go there and I wrestle with them and everything. And then this lady comes through the other day. We're done practice. I don't know who she was. She works at the middle school. She's like, "Oh, it stinks in here." And I'm like, "It probably does, but I don't smell it." Why? Because I stink. And on the days where I can't make it to practice, and I pick my son up after practice and he gets in the car, you know what I think of? He stinks. You know, talk about Lazarus, you know, later, you know, King James, he stinketh. You know, there's a stench to it. And when we were hiking, you know, some of you know I love hiking. I love being out in the woods. And Bob and I were hiking. And, you know, you don't realize how bad, you know, people smell. Like, I remember some two hikers walked by us, and like after they walked by, it was like, woo! Yeah, those are thru hikers, because the thru hikers begin to smell a little bit. We didn't think we were that bad, but Denise picked this up, and it was so bad, she wouldn't let me go into Taco Bell. I'm just saying, you stink if you're not even allowed to. She made me sit in the car, and she brought the Taco Bell out to me because we stunk. I don't know, we probably stunk too much to even go through the drive-thru. It was wafting in. But you don't smell your own stink, right? And a lot of times with sin, we don't smell our own stink. We don't realize that the stuff we've gotten into, the things we've done that are contrary to how God would have us live, it's not that God doesn't want us to have fun. But we're made to live in a certain way. And when we go outside of that, there's a stink, there's a stench. And then God ultimately comes to cleanse us. Jesus cleanses the leper. He cleanses us of our sin. If you haven't started following Jesus, you know, Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You know, the truth is all of us are born. All of us live. And along the way, you know, most of us go in the wrong direction. I'm not saying your whole life is in the wrong direction, but we do the wrong things. We do things that we shouldn't do. We don't do things that we should do. And we all, you know, and some of our sins are bigger and cause, not bigger in God's eyes, but things that are noticeable. Because it's easy for me to look at somebody else and point out their sin. I've got a list right now, and I'm going to go through starting with Grant. No, he's like nervous for a minute. He's like, I'm never sitting in the front row again. No, but you know, it's easy for me to look at other people and see their junk, right? But sometimes it's hard for us to see our own junk. And some of us, we see our own junk plenty. You know, we can see that we don't live up to the standards and things that God has for us. And God wants to cleanse us of this. It doesn't mean that we'll be without sin. But we have this forgiveness, and we have this ability to continually grow in that and to live and to be more like Christ. And ultimately, Jesus is willing to cleanse us. We just have to be willing to come take a shower, to take that bath. Sort of baptism, you could tie that in, right? You know, it's like you think of baptism. Baptism is a ceremonial act to mark something, but it's almost this idea of cleansing is there too. And then that we come to faith, and Jesus cleanses us from our sins. It's also it's representative of the fact that we're died and then we're raised to life like he is. You know, Jesus is willing, we just have to come to him. You know, sin makes us disgusting and something no one really would want to touch, but one touch of Jesus and we're cleansed. And if you're not someone who follows Jesus, I encourage you, follow Jesus. He takes away our sin. He takes away our brokenness. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to screw up some, but ultimately this life of following Jesus is this life of discipleship where we follow him, we become more like him, and you know, the Jeff at 20 when I became a believer was still a little rough around the edges. Now, the Jeff now, I could be a little rough around the edges, but I'm a lot less rough around the edges than I was then. But, you know, life is this process of learning to follow and be like Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to change you and to make you more like him. You know, we all sin, but when we repent, Jesus brings us healing from sin. We all sin, but it doesn't end with sin. It ends with forgiveness and joy. And even if here's the thing. Even if you don't feel cleansed, you know, you come to Jesus, sometimes we got some junk. And I remember, you know, I kept thinking of my junk after I came to Christ. It was like I kept thinking, oh, forgot about that one. I need to repent of that one. It's easy to kind of look at your junk and all you see is your junk. Even if you don't feel like you're forgiven, if you come to Jesus, he's forgiven it all. He forgives every bit of it. And it's not always based on our feelings, because sometimes our feelings are things that lie to us, that tell us, oh, I'm not forgiven, I'm not worthy. You're worthy because Jesus says you are. It'd be like one of your children. If you have kids, they come to you, and they say, you know, I'm sorry, forgive me. Most of us, good parents, what do? We forgive them. We don't hold it against them. It's that same way. God is this loving Father who wants to forgive us. You know, if you're a follower, here's the thing. You'll always end up sinning after you follow Jesus. I mean, the leper, the first thing he did was blow it. One commandment, don't tell anyone. First thing he did, tell everyone. And even if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to blow it sometimes. But you know, if you come continually to Jesus, he forgives you. Even if you don't always live up to the things, even after we follow it. And ultimately, we're all invited to be followers of Jesus. You know, and God wants us then to do what he did. That's why we're studying what Jesus did, because we're supposed to live and act like Jesus. And, you know, that means we see people like God sees people. You know, when everyone else came up and the leper comes up, what did everyone else see? A leper. Was he a leper? Yeah. But he was something more. And a lot of times when we look at people, not that his leprosy was caused by sin, but what do we see? We see their sin and their junk. We see, oh, this person's this. Oh, this person's that. We see this person's done this. We see this person's done that. God sees who we are. God sees who he's made us to be. And if you're going to be like God, then you need to see people like God sees people. See the potential in them. See who they're created and made to be. And then ultimately, we get to be his hands and his feet and bring healing to our families, to our friends. We get to go and tell everybody about who he is.